you, Sam, for the welcome. Good to be back again this evening. Good to be with you today, sharing fellowship again. And we thank the Lord for his help this morning and indeed his presence with us this morning. So good to be here. Thank you for the welcome. I trust that Davey and May will soon be back out among you again very soon. So good to be here and thank you for having us again today. Now we're turning in the Word of God to familiar words again to Joshua chapter 24, please. The 24th chapter of Joshua, and we're reading from verse 14 through verse 17. So it's Joshua 24 and the verses 14 through 17. Joshua chapter 24. And of course in verse 1 we have Joshua gathering all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. And of course we know that they ultimately built a pile of stones at Shechem. And every time they got to Shechem, there was a memorial for them and they were reminded of what God had done. And of course we need to be reminded of what God has done for us, which is why we gather around the Lord's Supper at the table every Lord's Day morning. As you go down Joshua 24, Joshua is reminding, through the Lord of course, of what God has done for them. And look at some of the things. Verse 3, "And I took." Verse 4, twice he says, "I gave." Verse 5, "I sent, I plagued, I did, I brought." Verse 6, "I brought." Verse 7, "He put, and I have done." Verse 8, "I brought you into the land, I gave them into your hand, and I destroyed them before you." And so on. You can go down the chapter and find all the things that God has done for them. But we're breaking into it at verse 14. And it says, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth." And how that's we ought to serve the Lord. Not for what we can get out of it, or anything like that, or not going through the motions. You need to serve him in sincerity and truth. "And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood." And every one of us served false gods before we came to Christ. For me it was the sport. I know I'm the shape of the ball tonight, but it wasn't always like this. And I live for sport, and I love sport, and that was my God. But he says, "Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, it is he that brought us up, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, in which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us all in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed." And amen, and God will bless the reading of his own inspired, infallible, inerrant, indestructible, incorruptible, and inexhaustible word of truth. Now let's have a word of prayer before we turn to the word of God this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we just bow in thy presence this evening. We thank thee for the opportunity to approach thy face. We thank thee for the hymns and we've been singing together. We thank thee for the one whom the hymns remind us of, and the one who they speak about. But Lord, as we bow in thy presence this evening, we thank thee tonight for this opportunity to proclaim Christ and him crucified one more time. But Lord, we pray for the need in the meeting this evening. We pray for the preacher's need. Inadequate, unable, and only a man. And Lord, we pray for our need that thou might touch these lips of clay. Bring to this mind the things you've given in the quiet place. and help us to discharge them faithfully and fearlessly, but help us to just discharge them, Lord, with responsibility and an honesty and a sincerity for the concern for the lost people who might be listening. And Lord, we pray for, Lord, the listener this evening, whether they be listening here in the meeting or whether they be listening at a later stage on an internet or a CD or a DVD or whatever. Lord, we pray that Thou would help the listener to set aside the things of the day that have gone. Help us to set aside the things of the morrow that lies ahead. And help us to hear the voice of God. Lord, we dare not to go through the motions. Lord, help us to hear the word of God. Help us to hear the voice of God. And if there be those that know not the Saviour, we would pray tonight that this would be the night when they would come and cry, "What must I do to be saved?" They'd fall in love and fall in with the offer of mercy and receive the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Saviour. Lord, meet the needs in this meeting this night. We pray to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Now in Joshua chapter 24, the people have been summoned before God, as we've already intimated, and they are reminded of all the things that He has done for them. But when we get down to verse 15, they're presented with this choice. What are they going to do? Serve God or the former gods? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Tonight, as I've intimated what my God was before I was saved, I wonder what your God is tonight. What is it that envelops you? What is it that attracts you? What is it that keeps you? What is it that fulfills your time and is your greatest desire? Because a false God, no matter what that false God is, will take you to a lost eternity. Life is full of choices, just as they had a choice that day, whom they were going to serve. Life is full of the choices. We choose our subjects at school to choose a path, or a career path, and a path into that chosen career. We choose our company. We choose our friends. We choose our spouse. We choose a house. We choose a car. We choose a holiday. We have a choice of what are we going to make for the dinner every night. Every day, Lord's Day in our house, we have the usual choice. What am I going to wear? There's never anything to wear. Despite there being about five wardrobes full of stuff. We have choices. But tonight I want to look at the choices some people made regarding the things of God and where it took them and the cost to their soul. And as we look at these people, I want to ask you, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. So with that text as a launching pad, keep your Bible handy. First of all, turn back with me to Genesis chapter 3, please. And I want to see the choice that Adam made. He chose the ruin of disobedience. He chose the ruin of disobedience. You remember his restriction. God has promised Adam the utopia of the Garden of Eden. He's promised him and given him that perfect creation. He's promised him that place of sinlessness. Those perfect surroundings. The beautiful river flowing that divides into four heads and goes into all the world. The trees in their splendor. The animals in their harmony. The perfection of innocence. The knowledge of God. The pleasure to walk with God in the cool of the day. The place where there's no separation from God. But there's only one restriction. Just one condition. Of course, we find it back in chapter 2 and verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, But of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Pretty plain. Pretty clear. No ambiguity. Just as long as you do this, Adam, and don't partake of that fruit, everything will be fine. As long as Adam did not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he would live forever in the state of perfection, and that place forever in full communion with God. So here's his restriction. But you see the reality of his choice, how he chose the disobedience. You remember the serpent subtly. How Satan came to Eve, and he comes to the weaker vessel. And then the devil employs his greatest tactic, a tactic he used away back in the Garden of Eden, and the reality is he's still using it tonight. He employs his greatest tactic. He tries to cast doubt on the Word of God. Look at verse 1 of Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, now watch it, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree, of every tree of the garden. Yea, hath God said. He's doubting what God has said, and he's doubting it to Eve. And having cast the doubt, he simply withdraws, and he leaves her to her own thoughts and her own mechanisms as to what God has done, or what God has said. And he leaves her doubts to do the rest. Sir, madam, young person, if the devil can get you to doubt this book, which is why he attacks it so much, and if he can get you to doubt this book, if you doubt what God has actually said by a modern liberal thinking, then I say to you tonight, you're finished. And you're the dead among the living. Because the Bible makes it abundantly plain that salvation is in Christ and in Christ alone. No other way. The liberals today and the modernists try to tell us all roads lead to God. No, they don't. The Saviour said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In Acts 4 and 12 it tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You can't come any other way. And if the devil can get you to doubt and think that there's another way, you're finished tonight. You see the serpent subtly, and we see how Eve succumbs, and she takes of that which is forbidden. Incidentally, why did the devil go to Eve rather than Adam? Why not go and take Adam on head on? Why go to Eve? It's very simple. When God gave the instruction, Eve wasn't there. Eve hadn't been taken from Adam's rib just yet. Eve hadn't been created. So to Eve the command was third party information. Adam told her, this is what God said. And if the devil had gone to Adam, Adam had got the instruction directly from God. Adam knew exactly what God had said, and therefore he would have chased him. Go away, don't be foolish. The devil knew it. So he comes, and he beguiles Eve. And he subtly goes to her. He beguiles her. And he makes her doubt the word of God. And she partakes of that which is forbidden. The serpent suddenly. Eve's succumbing. And then there was Adam's sinful choice. Eve goes to Adam. And she offers him that which is forbidden. And Adam willingly partakes. Now Eve was beguiled. Adam's going into it now with his eyes fully open. And we can speculate as to why. I would love to try that someday. I would really want to do it. Did he always want it? Maybe he was so in love with Eve that he wanted to be with her, no matter what the cost. Or was he just simply plain disobedient? But for whatever reason, Adam chose that which was forbidden, and his choice brought dire consequences, because sin enters into the world. For Adam himself, he's banished from the garden. Thorns begin to appear. Sweat now appears on his brow. Death is real, and separation from God is introduced. All because of a wrong choice. My friend, tonight I plead with you. Make a right choice. Don't make the wrong choice. Don't make the wrong choice about your soul. You have a choice tonight. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Will you serve Christ, or will you remain with the devil? Will you choose heaven, or will you choose hell? Will you come and cry, Lord, save me, a sinner, and be saved for time and for eternity? Or will you say no? Choose ye this day whom you will serve. The serpent subtly and Eve succumbing, and Adam's sinful choice. And then you have man's situation today. You see, we've already said that because of this one man, sin had entered into the world. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. There's sin's entrance. Sin entered into the world the moment Adam put that fruit in his mouth. And then you have so death passed upon all men. There's sin's effect. And you have sin's entrance and sin's effect. And then you have, for the all of sin, there's sin's extent. Because tonight every single one of us has sin. Every one of us is tainted by sin. We're ruined by sin. We're condemned to physical death by sin. We're separated from God and life by sin. Unless we come and repent. And unless we come and repent, in eternity, we will be still separated from God, all because of one man's sin. Now, my friend, tonight, can I ask you? The devil is trying to blind you and make you doubt this book. That's the reality tonight. And so far, you're not saved. So far, because you're not saved, therefore you've swallowed his subtleties and his devices and his deceits. Tonight, will you believe the word of God? Remember, the devil is a father of lies. You're going to believe God tonight. Don't allow the devil to make you doubt any longer. Repent now. Cry, Lord, save me, a sinner. Make the right choice. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Adam chose the ruin of disobedience. Turn over to the next chapter, chapter 4. And you have not so much Adam choosing the ruin of disobedience, but you have Cain choosing the religion of works. He comes with his unacceptable offering. You know how God demands a blood sacrifice? Only blood can pay the price of sin. Only blood can redeem. Only blood can atone. Nothing else will do. Hebrews 9 and 22 tells us, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. And that's why only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on Calvary is acceptable to God. And we know the story. We know what he did. How he had his head covered in blood from the blows that he received on his face, from the thorns beaten down into his brow and hammered down in with a reed, and from his face, from the punches and everything else, his back from the whipping until the innards would be hanging out, his hands and his feet from the nails, and the heart from the spear that pierced his side. And for 3 hours he bears the wrath of a living God as he bears the wrath and the sin, and he becomes a sin bearer for you, and he becomes a sin bearer for me, and he becomes a sin bearer for the sin of the world. And the Saviour went to the cross and shed his blood to redeem and reconcile man unto a holy God. Tonight, will you trust the finished work of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that's the only way you can come to God tonight. But Cain wouldn't come God's way. His choice was to come with the work of his hand. Sadly, many still do. They still seek to find favour with God with the work of their own hands. Living a good life. Being upright. Decent. A good parent. A good child. A good spouse. A good employee. Some maybe even attend a place of worship. An all-round decent spud, as we would say in Northern Ireland. Friend, those things might make you a good citizen, but they've absolutely nothing to do with eternity, and they've absolutely nothing to do with your soul's need of God's salvation tonight. The work of your hands is man's way. It's not God's way. Will you repent tonight and come God's way? Well, he came with his unacceptable offering. But then there's his unhidden disdain. Because Cain, having made the wrong choice to come by the work of his hands, he now rebels against God, and he chooses to rebel against God. Because if Cain had gone away and come with a blood offering the way God demanded, things would have been alright. But look what happens in verse 5 of chapter 4. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. But look what happens. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He gets angry with God. Cain's worshipping in his own way was unacceptable to God, and when God doesn't accept it, Cain gets angry. And he doesn't learn when given a second chance, and he makes a second silly choice, and what does he do? He goes out and commits murder. How sad. How sad. And of course he bears the consequences. He's going to be made a fugitive and a vagabond and a no man. And then he makes his confession in verse 13. He says, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Sir, madam, tonight, young people, can I say to you, if you continually continue to make the wrong choice regarding God's salvation, and you end up in a lost eternity, then in that lost eternity, you will re-utter the words of Cain, because you'll say, my punishment is greater than I can bear. My punishment is greater than I can bear. And I plead with you tonight, flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, and be ye saved, that you might not get to that place, because you get there, it's too late. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Adam chose the ruin of disobedience. Cain chose the religion of works. Turn your eye over to Ruth chapter 1 and verse 4. Sorry, 14. And Orpha chose to return to the world. I know we looked at this in depth about 8 or 9 years ago in the Bible study, but let's remind ourselves a little. Orpha returned to the world. The setting, and of course in Ruth chapter 1, is resulting from the famine. Elimelech and Naomi and their sons Malan and Chilion, they leave Bethlehem, Judah, and what do? They go to the place called Moab. And of course Moab is forbidden for the people of God to go to, and it's a type of the world. Bethlehem means the house of bread. And here they are, they leave the house of bread and they go down into the world and they stay there for 10 years with catastrophic consequences. They leave the place of his provision. They leave the place of his presence. They leave the place of his people. They leave the place of his plenty. They leave the place of his protection. They leave the place of his peace and the place of his promise. They leave the place of his plan. They leave the place of his purpose. And they head down into the world. The consequences are dire. The setting of the book. But then there's the sorrow that comes. Because Ruth 1 verses 3 and 5, 3 to 5 tells us that Elimelech, Ruth 1 verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left. And her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. They go down into the world. And the sons take wives from the family. And the daughters of the world. But ultimately her husband and her sons die in Moab. In the place of the world. What a sad place to die tonight. A sad place. Destitute. Derelict, distraught, disobedient, dead in sin in this world. What a place. But tonight, if you know not Christ, that's exactly where you are. And tonight, will you not flee from it? Choose ye this day whom you will serve. You've got the setting, the sorrow. The supply. Word comes again that God in verse 6 had visited his people and giving them bread. God has revisited. And so Naomi decides to return home. And now her widowed daughter-in-laws have a decision to make. Going to stay in the world? Are they going to follow Naomi back to the place and the people of God? What are they going to do? You've got the setting and the sorrow and the supply, but here's the sad choice. Ruth decides to go with Naomi, yes, in verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following thee after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God shall be my God. And oh, that one tonight would make a choice for God tonight. So Ruth clings to Naomi and receives all the blessings of God. She marries the kinsman redeemer Boaz, who's a type of Christ and all that we know from that. And ultimately is brought into the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ by giving birth to Obed, who's the grandfather of King David. What a change for Ruth. And what a change it is when the Saviour comes in and comes in this day. Will you ask him in tonight? However, what a contrast for Orpha. She remains in the world, never heard of again. Missed out in the blessings of God, will die and likely perish and go to a lost sinner's eternity. How sad. How tragic. And my dear friend tonight, sir, madam, young person, and it's breaking my heart as I stand before you tonight. If you choose to stay in the world, if you choose the world, that will be your latter end. And how sad. Will you flee from this world tonight and avoid that sad eternity? Come to him. Choose Christ tonight. My Lord, save me. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Adam, the ruin of disobedience. Cain chose a religion of works. Orpha chose to return to the world. Turn over here with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. Do we see Naaman the leper? He chose the remedy for a problem. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Of course, Naaman was a leader in Syria. He was a captain who had won a victory by the Lord's help. He was honourable. He'd found favour with the king. He was blessed with servants. And here's this man of rank, of riches, respect, of righteousness, of royal favour. Here's a man in life has it all. Until you get to the last five words of the first one. But he was a leper. This man who had it all is a problem. But he was a leper. He had that awful disease. They would eat away at him. He would take a finger here and another one there, a toe under. His voice. And ultimately his life. Miserable in his disease. Here's a man who's without hope. The picture of the man or woman, young person without Christ. But then in verse 2, hope's introduced. There's a faithful little maid who was faithful in advising him that there was one could help. I know that I might be something nothing more than a little maid tonight and every night and pointing people to the one who can help. Tonight, the one who can help is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he can help you. And here's this man. And off he goes to the prophet. But what a mistake he chooses to make. Like the number of mistakes. Verse 6. He goes to the wrong person. He goes to the king. Who are you coming to tonight? What wrong person? You're hoping a preacher and a pastor and a parson and a priest or a pope. He's going to the wrong person. And then he goes to the wrong place. He's going to the palace. He'll not find salvation in a palace. He only finds salvation at the cross of Calvary in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming to the wrong person. He's coming to the wrong place. And he's coming by the wrong power. He's got a letter from his own king. And so many come by the wrong power. And come to the wrong price, the wrong place, the wrong power. He comes with the wrong price because he's with all his gold and all his garments and everything else. And we've already said so many are trying to earn salvation. They're trying to earn it and to buy it. And then in verse 11 we find he makes the wrong presumption. Because he thinks that the prophet's going to do some great thing for him and go all the pomp and ceremony and all the rest. And how typical of those who try these things. But eventually he gets to the prophet. The one who is able to help him, and he's told the simple solution. And he goes away angry because he wants the pomp and the ceremony. How sad. So many today put their trust in empty, dead, formal religion and all its pomp and all its ceremony. And all it is empty, dead religion. With no hope of taking men or women to heaven. And they'd rather have all that pomp, and they'd rather have all that ceremony, and they'd rather have all that show than the cross of Calvary and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, this man, he eventually comes God's way. And he goes and he dips the 7 times in the River Jordan. What a change comes in this man. He now is purity. The flesh becomes white again. comes normal again. He's got purity. Just as a sinner's sins are purged and forgotten and washed and cleansed when he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. His purity, his peace, peace with God, and peace of God. And this man has peace of mind. He can go to bed at night and he can put his head in the pillow and know that all's well. And thank God tonight that I can put my head in the pillow. And I know that if anything happens in the night watches, it's absent from the body and present with the Lord. This man has purity and he's peace. Peace with God, peace of God, peace of mind. He's a pleasure. He can now start to enjoy life again. Friends, if you're not saved tonight, you've no pleasure. Yes, I know there's pleasures in that world tonight. I sampled most of them. But the reality of this, they're only for a season and they're gone. The bottle brings a hangover. The drugs bring the shake and the need for the next fix. The gambling empties the pocket and so on and go on tonight. The devil's dummy tit ultimately takes and ruins the health. So we can go on. Then tonight, there's real pleasure found in Christ. And then he had power to live again. And all the things that life could bring. And tonight, you come to Christ. You will find all the things that he offers you. But what will you choose? What are you going to choose tonight? Because you know this world and you think there's a measure of pleasure in it, you're going to choose to remain in the leprosy of your sin. Or will you choose to come to Christ and cry, Lord, save me. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Adam, the ruin, chose the ruin of disobedience. Cain chose the religion of works. Orpha chose to return to the world. Naaman the leper eventually chose the remedy for his problem. Pilate chose to reject making a decision. He chose to reject making a decision. He chose not to make a decision. Maybe there's a Pontius Pilate listening to me this evening. Pilate declared in Luke 23 and verse 4, then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And later stronger in John 18 and 38, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault in him at all. But what Pilate knew, the Pilate chose not to do. He didn't do that which was right. He dithered and dithered and didn't make a decision and ultimately hands the Lord Jesus Christ over to be crucified. And he tried to wash his hand off. But in making no decision, Pilate made a decision because the Lord Jesus was crucified. The decision to make no decision was a cowards' decision. And the wrong decision. And tonight, can I be blunt and honest, yet sincere with you because I'm concerned about your soul? Perhaps you're choosing to make no choice, but the reality that is a choice, and it's a cowards' choice. That choice is the wrong choice. And will take you to hell no matter whether you want to go or not. Incidentally, soon afterwards Pilate soon returned to Rome. We read from the historians that 4 years later Pilate took his own life. Amen. Tortured. Friends, tonight, all because he made the wrong choice, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Come over with me for one last one. Adam, the ruin of disobedience. Cain, the religion of works. Orpha returned to the world. Naaman the leper returned find a remedy for the problem, Pilate chose to reject making a decision. Turn with me to John chapter 4, please. Do we find the woman of Samaria? The woman who chose to receive Christ. John chapter 4, the woman of Samaria. In John 4, I quickly want to finish by looking at someone who made the right choice. Of course, that day, the Lord Jesus Christ's course. The Jews avoided Samaritans like the plague, and of course the Lord Jesus was fully Jewish, fully Orthodox Jewish in all his ways. And they chose to avoid the Samaritans, but not so the Saviour. In verse 3 and 4 we find him going some 40 miles out of his way just to reach one individual. And how the Lord Jesus loves the individual. My friend tonight, he loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ loves the individual. He cares about individuals. And he cares about you. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to him tonight. He's waiting for you. He cares for you. He loves you. He died for you. You've got Christ's course. But as we see this woman who made the right choice, the conversation, when we come to verse 9, this woman begins to realise that he's a Jew and is surprised that he would talk to her. And in that conversation, as he begins to open up, in verse 10 we find that he begins to reveal himself, because in verse 10 he says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the conversation continues. And it brings her ultimately, it brings her to the place where he is offering to give her the choice of receiving eternal life. Look at verse 13. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing into everlasting life. And you've got the Saviour's course in this conversation. And then our condition starts to come out. Going back to verse 6 and verse 7. Because the Saviour has arrived at the well just spot on time. He wasn't too early. He wasn't too late. And of course he's never too early or too late. He's always there just when you need him. But in verse 17 and 18 he begins to reveal. And he says, look, you've got five husbands. And the one you're with now, he's not your husband. And she begins to realise that he's a prophet. And he points to having pointed at her condition. Then there's her conversion, because upon his offer of eternal life in John 15 she asks, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She asks for the river of eternal life. Tonight, will you ask for eternal life and found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you choose Christ tonight? Will you choose to remain in the barren, thirsty world? Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. You've got this woman, you've got the course of the Saviour and the conversation and the condition and the conversion, but look at the change. We find that this lady goes into the city to find a man. Perhaps there's an indication there of her past life. Verse 28 and verse 29. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come and see a man which told me all the things which I ever did, that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? He goes and she finds a man and begins to point him to Christ. And of course the consequences of many of them came to faith in Christ. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him for the saying of the women which testified, he told me all that ever I did. From an immoral woman to an evangelist. All because she made the right choice. the change that came into this lady's life because she made the right choice. What about you tonight? What about you? I ask you one more time. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Christ or Satan? Heaven or hell? Life or death? Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. You all know that Elaine and I, along with a team, I think there was 13 of us in total, were out in Canada during the summer, working among drug addicts primarily. We had tremendous time. But on Canada Day, which is the 1st of July, the city of Calgary was divided up into segments. We're asked to, the target was across the city, 10,000 Bibles given out in one day. Between us all, we give out 13,500 Bibles. We worked from 10 till 2, and then from 6 to midnight. And we didn't finish at midnight because, one, it was bitter cold, and two, we ran out of Bibles, so we left it at that. But people came to know the Lord just through receiving a Bible and going away and reading. Over the couple of weeks, there was, I think it was somewhere about 70 people counseled. But that first night, as we went back to work at 6 o'clock, some of the team had eaten, some hadn't. So those that hadn't ate went and got a bite to eat. Ronnie, who had, across the road from the restaurant where we were in, the only way I can describe it, if you remember the old booths where you had paid your car park fees. And there's these two fellas and a girl, sitting underneath this booth. And it wasn't a wise place to be sitting because it was freezing cold until you realised what they were at. And after we'd finished, myself and Jeff Patterson went over to join Ronnie. And what they were doing was stealing electric from that booth to wipe the phones, the mobile phones that they'd stolen, so they could flog them on to get more drugs. And Jeff and I said to this guy, or one of the guys, have you guys eaten? No. When did you last eat? Now bear in mind it's now 6 o'clock on Monday evening. Breakfast time yesterday. Not a bite to eat since breakfast the Lord's Day to Monday evening. If I went and got you something, a burger or chips and Coke or anything like that, would you take it? Of course. Anything you can't eat. Says when you eat the way we do, we just eat whatever we can get. All right. So I went and got them the burgers, and Jeff and I went over and got them the burgers and the chips and all the rest of it. One of those three people, I'll never forget him, was a guy called Dee. Under the influence of dirty jugs and dirty needle, nobody knows where they jumped, pushed, fell. But young Dee was dragged three blocks by a train. Nobody knows how he survived. But it cost him his choice of drug life, cost him his right legs and many fingers, and you want to see that young lad riding a bike. 10 days later or so, young Dee turned up at the breakfast and was further witnessed to and of course fed. They came back to the barbecue that night and Dee chose to trust Christ as a Saviour. Having made so many wrong choices, he now made the right one. Sir and Madam, tonight, having made so many wrong choices, will you now make the right one? Will you call on his name
and ask him to save you. Choose ye this day whom you will serve.
We'll sing a couple of verses of 250, please. 250. Once again, the gospel message from the Saviour you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? 250. And we'll sing the first two verses only, please. 1 and 2 of 250. And then our brother Bert will close with a word of prayer, please.
Once again, the gospel message from the Saviour you have heard.
Jesus, look and live.
Unbelieving,
unto Jesus, look and live.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the challenge of the gospel message for tonight. To all them souls, Lord, that choose ye this day whom you will serve. Ask me my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
A simple choice, Lord. But thank you of Christ. Mm-hmm. What shall I do then with Jesus who's called the Christ? What should Father ask the question? That question still rings down through the centuries, Lord, indeed. People have a choice for us tonight. Mm-hmm. Offer clear and plain. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. D.M. Moody was asked a question one time at election. He said, I have no problem with the election, says. In election, and whosoever will believe, and the non-election, and whosoever won't. Something like that, isn't it? My word says, he that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ is not condemned.
Mm-hmm.
He that believeth not is condemned already. Because he's never ever believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He's made a choice, men make a choice for him. Many people have heard the gospel. Our brother reminds us tonight. Many people have made choices during their lifetime. They have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, are confronted with the truth of the gospel, and they have a choice to make. Somebody as well said there's no conscripts in heaven, only volunteers. And there's a lot of truth in that statement. People can choose to believe and choose to reject the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life.
Amen.
He that has not believed, refuses to believe, rejects him from shall not see life. But the wrath of God is abiding upon him, under the abiding wrath of God. We pray, Lord, tonight, and I brought a message this to you tonight, on the internet, that souls be wise, Lord, tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Make that proper choice, that true choice, the only choice, our Lord and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. And spend all eternity and his eternal and wonderful presence, Lord. We thank you for the assurance we have that is well in our soul, Lord.
Yes.
So that's great to see him. We pray for all his Lord tonight and day. You're confronted with that question. Choose ye this day whom you will serve.
Hmm.
We pray, Lord, tonight and day to really say that people will make that wonderful choice for the Lord Jesus Christ alone.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about religion, false traditions, and everything else. What the world's got to offer, the world has nothing to offer. Nothing whatsoever for eternity. We thank you, the Lord Jesus Christ offers everything. Come on to me. All you have delivered, have you rest, I will give you.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon thee and learn of me, and you'll find rest unto your souls. And we thank and praise thy name, Lord, and faith. by one which is Christ, believe and were justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By one which is very clean and no peace is my God, also with it, the Christ rejection. But we have offered peace with God and from God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. And we will spend eternity in that perfect peace with our Lord and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. What we have now is a foretaste of glory divine. Yes. And we pray, Lord, indeed, for all us tonight to make the proper choice in our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, precious name, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Martin. Thank you, Martin.